Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents.
Well, welcome back, guys, to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast. My name is Shari Lyon, and welcome back to episode 36. Now, in this episode, Nicola and I felt so blessed to be able to connect with a couple that I taught the Hypnobirthing Australia program to via online. So they did my live online hypnobirthing course over 4 weeks, Luke and Claire. So their journey took them a bit of a turn down the induction journey route. And this is actually a really beautiful, empowering induction birth story. And that's why we are really excited to share it with you, because both Nicola and I are such big advocates for helping all of you to be able to feel confident in making informed decisions that are right for you. And there is always a time and place for medical intervention. And this was a time where Claire and Luke made the informed decision with their medical caregivers, and they felt totally supported by their medical caregivers to induce the labor due to pre-labor rupture of membranes. So Claire's water broke and it had been over 72 hours. We're super excited to share this story. And thank you so much, Claire and Luke, for coming together and sharing this story to hopefully help inspire others to make informed decisions just like you did. Welcome, Claire and Luke, to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast. How are you guys?
Good.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you guys? For having us.
Thank you for taking time out of, and also getting your mother to look after your newborn so you can come and chat to us this morning.
Yeah.
Good old mum came in to save the day.
Yeah. So the reason why I personally wanted to also bring you on this podcast is because you did the Hypnobirthing Australia course with me. So we'll go into that. But you shared a beautiful video, birth video, last week, which then I think many people shared. And it was just such a beautiful and positive reflection on your birth and the experience that you had having to have an induced labor. So we would love to kind of just go back a little bit and just hear about your journey first, your pregnancy journey, and what that was like for you both.
Yeah. So, I mean, my pregnancy journey, I guess, started in 2019, is when we first sort of started trying. We got married, and then very soon after, we'd been together for a long, long time. So we basically wanted to crack on the minute we got married. And I was super fortunate that fell pregnant like really quickly. You know, I've been working in the health space for a number of years now, working directly with women, you know, syncing their cycles, making sure that they're training effectively, making sure that their nutrition's on ball. So I was like, I've got this, you know, like I know what I'm doing. This will be easy. So yes, I fell pregnant relatively quickly the second time we tried. And I never in my wildest dream ever thought that anything would ever go bad. Like I just thought, you know, I've got this, even though, as I said, working with women, I've seen it, you know, it's very common. But then we relocated to Australia. We were living in Dubai. And then unfortunately I had a miscarriage, and it was quite complicated in the respect that I started early bleeding. And then I decided to have a natural miscarriage, which in hindsight was probably a really bad decision. I wouldn't go through that again. So I wanted it to be all natural, but it was the most painful thing I've ever been through, and now way more painful than birth. And I lost a lot of blood, and then still needed to have a DNC at the end of it because I had retained tissue. So that was quite traumatizing. But then I was like, okay, you know, I'm driven, let's get on it. So tried again, second time trying again, we fell pregnant. And unfortunately I lost the second one as well. So then it sort of came to me, like, I was like, oh, there has to be something wrong. Something's going on. So that's when I then sought help. So originally from a naturopath who sort of directed me, because in Australia, I didn't know anyone, you know, I'd been living overseas for 10 years. I didn't know a doctor. I didn't know a GP. I knew no one. So she directed me into the right direction of like a good healthcare provider. And then I started seeing a fertility specialist. So within that fertility specialist, he actually found that I had a gene that was a blood clotting gene. So potentially that could have been the cause why I was early miscarriaging, because I was just clotting the baby and then letting go of it. So he decided to put me on Clexane as my next, like sort of going forward with the next pregnancy, as well as progesterone. But we were also, we hit the road. So we were living in a van and we were just like, let's just let our hair down. Let's not think about it. Like, let's just go with it. If I fall pregnant, I fall pregnant. And then funnily enough, I got a call from my doctor and he had actually called me to tell me that my egg reserve was really low. So I just got some test results back and that basically he'd given me 4 months to fall pregnant. Otherwise I needed to start IVF. So that was devastating. Like I was devastated, but I was pregnant at that time when he called me.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we had just conceived when he had called me, which I didn't know, obviously. I found out 2 weeks later, when we were on a boat in the Whitsundays. So yeah, then I started immediately with Clexane and started with progesterone whilst we were driving around in Northern Queensland. And just being relaxed and chilled about it, to be honest. So I think, you know, who knows what was the success, but that was little bow in my bellies and that one worked. So yeah, I mean, what, 41 weeks later, I gave birth.
Wow. Luke, would you mind if I asked you what your experience was going also through the loss of the miscarriage that Claire was experiencing?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was obviously something that we didn't expect as well. Like I just thought that if we got pregnant, you know, Claire's super healthy. She's like probably the healthiest and fittest person I know. And that's her job. And she takes pride in that. She works with women directly for a number of years. And I was like, so we've got this in the bag kind of thing. And then obviously went through it and I was like, okay, why is this happening? Could this be something to do on my side? You know, all these questions start entering your mind as to, you know, is it our environment? Is it me? Is it Claire? Is it what's going on? And these questions kind of arise. But I think we managed to stay like pretty calm and focused. I think when we got into that, we were actually building the van during COVID, and that's when the first miscarriage happened, and then the second miscarriage happened. And then it was then that we took a decision, right? Let's just get on with things. We'll get into the van. We'll enjoy our time. We'll explore Australia. It's beautiful. We're going to be relaxed. And then because we went into it with that kind of mindset, we were then, I think, in a really good space where we were calm and relaxed and we were positive, and it just happened kind of obviously with the help.
Yeah.
But it kind of happened more naturally. And I think that was kind of a big part of it. We were a bit more positive in that kind of mind frame. But yeah, it was difficult to start with. And obviously, as the guy, you're like, well, there's only so much I can do physically. It's always happening to your partner, to the woman. And so I wanted to be there as a support beacon, as what can I do to support, you know, go to all the appointments, just be there from a mental point of view and an emotional point of view to provide as much support as possible. And so that's really what my focus was at that time. And it was really getting Claire through it more so than kind of worrying about myself, if that kind of makes sense. So yeah, it was kind of trying, but we got through it and we're super happy now. So all is good.
Amazing. And, for me, I've lost, I've miscarried as well. So I know that feeling of like disappointment, but did you at any point the way through when you were pregnant and you had your baby now, did you feel like there was always that anticipation, like, oh gosh, I hope we make it right to the end until you had him in your arms?
God, yeah. I mean, it was like, so the excitement of the first pregnancy was like nothing we've ever had. Like, it was so beautiful. Like, we were so excited. Like, I was just like, the minute I saw that positive test, you know, your heart drops like in a good way. And like, we were, you know, documenting everything.
Yeah. We were in Bali for 2 weeks during that time, during the first trimester. And it was, And we were so like, you know, Bali brings out this kind of positive vibe anyway. And we were so happy. And we were like doing all these like kind of trimester one workouts and like filming it all like really positively. And we just didn't think anything would go wrong. We just, you know, we didn't think anything of it, did we?
No.
We didn't expect it to end up in a miscarriage. So, and then from going from that, the first pregnancy to the third pregnancy, which was successful, we didn't.
We weren't excited.
Mentally, it was just like, we just need to remain calm and get through it. We didn't really document any of it apart from some of the injections of the Clixane, because we were in a van and I was like injecting Claire. And then we had all these syringes. People would poke their heads into a van going, oh, you got an awesome van, guys. And I've got these like syringes on the side of the countertop. And I'm like, what am I going to do with all these needles? And it was just like, it was a bit crazy, but we were just trying to stay calm because obviously what happened with the first two, we were then in a mindset of, we just need to get through this basically. And
yeah,
so that was our focus. Yeah. We weren't too positive really.
And we didn't really tell family or anything. Like I told my mum, but she guessed, she sent me a message saying you're pregnant. I think mums just know, don't they? But we didn't tell any other family just because we were like, I just can't deal with, we originally told our family, which was amazing. They were great support, but it was dealing with their disappointment as well as my own disappointment that I couldn't deal with on the third pregnancy. So yeah, we were really just not excited at all and quite scared. And then every day I felt sick. So obviously I had morning sickness and I didn't with the previous two. So every day I was like, oh my God, Luke, I feel sick.
We were so happy when she felt sick. I was like, yes, you're feeling sick. This is awesome. This has got to be good.
And then one day I didn't feel as sick and I was really upset about it. I was like, I don't feel sick. Something's wrong. So yeah, I mean, it took us about till 20 weeks for me to get excited. So it's a long time.
We were excited. We were positive. Well, we were just remaining like super calm and practical with it all. I think we were, reserved.
I definitely think that's something that people don't really talk about, is that feeling right to the end, isn't it? I just remember holding my little girl and looking at her going, oh, you're actually here. Yeah, you actually made it. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like a big relief part of it, I think.
Yeah.
When they finally arrive. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Claire, what sparked your interest in wanting to do hypnobirthing? Because I know you did actually contact me. It must have been when you were for your first pregnancy. So what drew you to wanting to do the hypnobirthing course?
So I've always been in the health space. So I'm a yoga teacher, personal trainer, and I work with women. So I'm a nutrition coach as well. So I work with women to cycle their periods. So I've always sort of known about hypnobirthing, but you know, I was listening to a podcast a while back, maybe 2 or 3 years back, and I heard you on it actually. And that was the first sort of introduction into the hypnobirthing space. And it all just sort of made sense to me. And then I started going down, reading all Ina May Gaskin's books, and you know, just sort of started getting all into it from there. So the minute I did fall pregnant, I actually contacted you because our original plan was to give birth in Queensland at a birthing suite. But obviously that didn't happen. So yeah, I was reached out to you initially, which was amazing. You've always been such a great support. So yeah.
And what was your thought, Luke, when Claire first said to you, I want to do hypnobirthing?
I was like, what the hell is hypnobirthing?
He's like, do they dangle a pendulum?
I was like, what? So what exactly is it? Like, I couldn't really, I guess, get my head around it. And I knew it would be something more natural orientated, because that's where Claire's mind, like she loves that kind of thing, obviously, as we both do. But yeah, I didn't really know what it was. And so she obviously had to explain it. And then obviously I was on board and wanted to, for me, it's like, it's such a beautiful journey. It's like a miraculous, incredible thing that a woman's body goes through to give birth and to create life. And I just wanted to be as part of that as I possibly could. And so whether that was to learn as much as possible, to do the hypnobirthing course, to be as physically there as support as possible. So whether that's massaging, doing light touching, whatever it is, as well as from an emotional and mental point of view as well. So I just wanted to be there to support, and that's the hypnobirthing was all part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Claire decided that's where the she wanted to go, and I was like, sweet, let's do it.
I was like, you're doing this regardless. He's like, okay, yep, cool.
It wasn't that that bad though, was it, going through? Because you did the online course with me. Like, how did you find the online aspect of it? I'd love to just ask, because I know that there are a lot of people that kind of question as to whether they should do online or face to face, or I'd love to just hear both of your experiences on.
For me, obviously, we don't have, we've never done it from a physical, you know, being there on point with you. So I think that would be amazing if you could be there, because you'd get to know all the other people in the group as well. I think you're missing out on that a bit from doing it online, but then there's also advantages for being online. You, the comfort of your own home, you can be there. Like, as soon as you're back, like for the guys, maybe they get back from work at 6 and then they're straight there available to do it. So I think there's like good points and maybe not so good points, or some advantages of being there in person.
I think, yeah, advantages definitely are you're in the comfort of your own home and you feel in a very safe space originally. So I feel that you're quite open immediately, rather than sort of having other people and potentially those. So yeah, I liked that perspective of it. And as I saw with the other thing, if, I guess if people felt uncomfortable, they just turned off their video.
Yeah.
Which we never did. Yeah. Show ponies.
And would you like to talk us through now that, I mean, the video that you've put up on social media, it was just so beautiful to see your whole journey that you've, you know, you've let everybody into. And it's, you know, just even that moment of you stepping out the van and, you know, doing your little dance alongside the van. I just loved that. But I'd love to know that moment of going into the hospital. Oh, you know, when your waters broke all the way through, what was your experience and, you know, what were the best bits and the hardest bits?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously, for those that don't know, it happened over quite a few days. So Tuesday is when I first started to get my first signs. And then Friday is when I went in for the induction. So on Tuesday, I mean, I'd been getting signs for a number of days, but they were more like loose bowels, like, you know, just really subtle signs. It could be something else as well. So you just read into everything at those last couple of weeks and days, don't you? But on Tuesday, I was super antsy. Like, I was just, and that's not really my purse. I was like quite emotional. I'm not normally like an emotionally high person. And I just all of a sudden had a bit of a gush. But like when we're talking gush, it was like quite small. Like, it didn't even go through to my pants or anything. It was just on my undies. And then followed by losing my mucus plug. So I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Like, this is it. Like, I'm 41 weeks. You know, this is happening. And Luke was outside washing the van. So I ran out and was like, Luke, it's happening. So then I was like, I need to get sleep. I need to get sleep because, you know, it's going to be a long road ahead of me. So I quickly ran upstairs trying to get sleep. Obviously, my heart rate is like 100 million miles an hour. But I then started listening to my hypnobirthing tracks and just really started to like put my face mask on and just try to calm myself. Nothing eventuated. So we sort of just chilled. Luke was like, do you want me to do anything? What do I do? I called the hospital and they're like, look, it sounds like you've just lost your mucus plug. I don't think you've broken your waters because it sounded so small. And I was like, yeah, cool. I'm cool with that diagnosis. I definitely haven't broken my waters because I knew that that meant that I had to be induced. So I was like, cool. That's, yep, sweet. And then that night at about 2 a.m., I woke up, getting quite regular cramps. So it just felt like period cramps. But again, nothing, I woke up in the morning. So I was having them and I was timing them thinking this is it, but then I obviously fell asleep and woke up and nothing happened. So I was like, oh, okay. No labor then. And then that day, so Wednesday, I lost a little bit more fluid. Called the hospital. They were like, yeah, I don't think it sounds like anything. You can come in if you want. And I was like, no, I don't want. Like, I knew I had an appointment on Friday booked because I was 41 weeks. So they wanted to talk about where we go from here anyway. Then I lost a little bit more. And then Friday I went in and I sort of said, look, I think potentially my waters have broken. It's been 72 hours. And they're like, you know, obviously they were a bit worried because it had been so long and I was a bit cheeky and sort of like withheld information a little bit.
No, but initially they didn't think that. They were like, well, but by the sounds of what you're saying, it's just a little bit of discharge and well, you'd lost your mucus plug. And then they were like, we better check it anyway. So they did a test and they were like, but we don't think it's going to be your waters that are broken. And then when she came back in, she was like, I'm so surprised your waters have actually broken. Now we can't even kind of let you leave, kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, I guess we're having a baby today.
Well, so yeah, that was on the Friday. And yeah, so that was 3 days after I had sort of mentally prepared that this potentially was what was going to happen. But again, initially they were amazing. So we gave birth at Sandringham in the Royal Women's Hospital. And I had always had this, like, you know, not sort of a negative, but sort of, I think all intervention is bad. That's my, you know, whole persona that I thought. And so I was like really scared about it. And initially I had been deemed as high risk pregnancy. So giving birth in a birth suite was unfortunately out of the question because you can't give birth if you're high risk. I missed a bit there. I had a subchorionic hematoma at 12 weeks, which was cleared by 20 weeks. So that's why they deemed me as high risk. Unfortunately I then had to go into the conventional medical system. And here I was in hospital now with my waters broken 72 hours, having to potentially get an induction. So I was like, holy shit, this is not what I planned at all. Like, I wanted it to be supernatural. I wanted to be mobile. I wanted all these things to happen, you know? And so initially I was like a bit disheartened. And Luke is like, just leave us. Like, we just need time. And the nurse is like, okay, sure. You know, have your time. And we sort of just spoke and Luke was like, we can say no, we can leave. You know, he's like,
I don't really know.
He's like, whatever you want, Claire, we can do, you know? And I was like, honestly, I think it's been 72 hours. Like, I think this is the right path to go down. Like, I'm a little bit devastated, but we'll do this and I'm going to get positive and I'm going to do it. And so, yeah, then we told the nurses, all right, let's do it. So they immediately brought us into the birthing suite and basically cracked on immediately. They gave me time to like calm myself. They gave me time to like listen to some meditations. They'd already set up the diffuser in the room. They had dimmed the lights. They were incredible. Like, honestly, like, I couldn't fault them one bit. Like,
they were like hypnobirthing midwives. So they would call it surges and they would, you know, have all the same things that we had already been taught by you in the course. So we were like, and they were just so positive and calm. It was actually a really good experience from a midwife and a nursing point of view. So we were really happy with that.
Yeah. And never once did they ever talk about it being an intervention or anything. They were like, you know, you're giving birth to your baby. Like, it was always just really positive language and positive environment. So it was really nice in that perspective. And so, yes, I was hooked up to the belly thing, whatever that is.
CTG,
And I was hooked up via the drip, which I was initially really worried about because I was like, I want to be mobile. But to be honest, once I was in that zone mentally, I didn't even notice I was hooked up to a machine. I literally did not notice. So that wasn't a worry at all. Like, you know, it was... Yeah, I was pretty happy with how it all went.
Yeah, we saw in your video that you were still quite mobile by the looks of it. Yeah. Like, you were standing, you were rocking, you were on the ball. It doesn't mean that you have to be confined to a bed.
No. I mean, we didn't go into the bed at all until the very, very last minute to give birth, obviously. But yeah, like the whole time we were just super mobile. I was standing, sitting, went to the shower. You know, it was great. And as I said, the nurses were there to fully support everything. So they would just quickly reorganize everything. But because I was so internal, I didn't even notice that they were playing with things on me or anything. It didn't even occur to me that they were there. So it wasn't a distraction. But yeah, I was super lucky in the respect that it was relatively quick. So we started induction about 3 p.m. and then I gave birth at 11:13 p.m. So active labor was only actually 3 hours 20 or something. So, I mean, I don't know why they call it active labor because, like, seriously, the whole process is bloody hurts.
Can
they're like, that was only 3 hours.
I was like, what? We've been here like 13 hours.
Yeah.
What are you saying to me? I don't understand the maths on this.
And just ask, so did they do any other intervention before that? So did they try any prostaglandin gel? Or, and with the fact that your waters had broken, was that a slow leak that they discovered that you were having?
Yeah, so it was a super slow leak, and that's why they just thought it was discharge, because it was just little gushes here and there. So it was just a slow, degrading of my waters, whatever. So when the first intervention actually was, they actually fully broke my waters. So the doctor came in, but again, the doctor was amazing. And she was young and she was like super positive and she broke my waters. And that was the first intervention that I had. And then obviously they checked me, and when she broke my waters, I was already 2 centimeters. So I had gone in that day at 2 centimeters. So obviously my body was doing something naturally. So I think that I started my induction at a really good place in the respect that my body was already getting itself ready. So, which I guess maybe helped it go quicker or something. I mean, who knows, but.
I would have definitely made a difference because, yeah, you were showing the signs. So yeah, the hormones were probably already there. It was just, do you think that Bo was possibly in a not so optimal position, and that's maybe why labor wasn't kicking off?
Yeah. So it was, so you know how you in public hospital, you have the swap over between the midwives. So the first midwife, I had a pure back labor, so it was pretty painful. And it was a lot in my back. So the first midwife was like, it's posterior. But again, she wasn't saying that to me. She sort of, my mum was there and she sort of kept taking mum out of the room and talking to her. She didn't even talk to Luke. You know, she was just like, we want to keep it in a calm space. And she sort of gave my mum the thing that it is, I think it's posterior. She might have to have an epidural because this is, you know, it might not happen as quickly as we like it to be. And yeah, the back labor was horrible. So actually before, I sort of suspected that when I initially spoke to you, when I initially got that mucus plug loss, I was like, yeah, you're like, well, if it hasn't happened in 24 hours, you know, potentially there's something going on. So I was doing all my forward facing inversions. I was like, I mean, you name it, I was doing it. And still nothing happened. And that's why I wanted to give my body time to sort of have that, to do the forward facing inversions, to do my ball work, to do my walks, to do my curb walking, you know, all of that I did. So yeah, I mean, but when he actually came out, he wasn't posterior. So whether he made the turn by himself, I don't know. I mean, is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, no, the babies definitely do rotate and turn during labor. And maybe from when they fully broke your waters, that then gave him the opportunity to actually come down onto the pelvic floor and be able to do the pivots that he needed to do. Because sometimes if you've had a pre-labor rupture of membranes and it's a slow leak, the waters from the top are releasing depending on where the amniotic sac has split. So if there was still a bulging of the waters, because normally with like the pop and a gush of the waters, that's kind of the amniotic sac breaking kind of at the base of the amniotic sac. Mm-hmm. So potentially it could have been that maybe there was some waters pooling there that wasn't allowing him to come down on the cervix, which that's why it wasn't fully kicking off, because the body kind of has receptors down on the cervix that the baby needs to apply that pressure to, and that gives then the cue to us, like, yep, oxytocin, contractions, like surges. And our babies need to be able to pivot on the pelvic floor to do the rotations. Yeah. So, absolutely, like that. And that was what I – this is actually now something I really do, and I'm not sure if you remember, I really do try and emphasize throughout the course that a lot of the time, if labor is not starting, if it's stalling, if it's start, stop, if your waters release and there are no surges, it is normally because baby is maybe not in an optimal position. But then you did do everything right. Like you tried everything to create the space for him. Yeah. But maybe just the breaking of the waters and those induced contractions with the syntocin is what he needed to be able to come down onto the cervix, which he may not have been able to do. So again, on reflection, you did the right thing that was for you. You did everything right with the preparation, with doing all of the techniques you were shown. And, you know, that's when it kind of comes into that gray zone of safety of, okay, it'd been 72 hours and, you know, it's okay to have help.
Yeah.
And it's so good that you were supported.
It was a really nice place to enter from because I knew that I had done everything. So I wasn't failing myself. Like I think, and that's what I was sort of worried about the most was like, am I failing myself by accepting intervention? And I think by that time I was like, no, I've really tried everything. Like, and I think that like, yeah, I mean, I'm 2 centimeters, something's happening, but it's just not happening. Yeah. So that's, I guess posterior, he was in the wrong position, but thankfully he came through at the right position and did everything he needed to do. But it was obviously a little bit painful because
yes,
he was in the back, in which it was kind of nice because I just didn't even think about it. Like I knew that labor had to be more in the front, but I didn't realize that it wasn't at all in the back. So that was good. So I just went with it but the nurse sort of knew immediately that, okay, yeah, this is what's going on. So it was funny because I couldn't actually be that mobile because he was such a back labor. So I was I just sat on the ball basically. I even tried like, you know, the forward leaning over the ball, that killed me. I tried, a few of the ones that are recommended for back labor and they actually hurt, but sitting on the ball and just doing gentle hip rotations was incredible. And I could really just get into the mental zone then. So I just went in, you know, deep and just focused on the breath, which obviously helped.
And I think, you know, also give yourself this huge credit that you were on a drip. You were on Pitocin, which is it's not your body doing it all by itself. You're getting the surges are coming from the drip as well. So it's also not your body doing it all by itself, which then in turn causes a lot more of a stronger surging. You know, you're having to really work a lot harder than a natural labor. Because in a natural labor, you get the pauses. Where did you find that the pauses weren't quite there? Because I was also induced. So what you're saying is very resonating with me deeply. So, and I also had a baby that was in the wrong position. So I had all the back pain as well. So I understand that feeling. But did you notice, you don't know anything else or anything different, but a natural labor, you'll get the pauses. So you get the breaks, but on the drip, you don't necessarily get the pauses.
I mean, I got some pauses, but they were obviously very short. But again, the nurses were amazing because at one time I was getting 5 contractions in 10 minutes and she was like, whoa, it's too much. So she was dialing it down. They were really good. And at one stage, I think she gave me a bit of a break. Like as in a bit of a break, maybe I got 1 minute instead of whatever it was. Like it wasn't a crazy long break, but it was just like a sort of a breather. So they were good in that respect. It's all a blur to be honest. But again, I progressed quickly, which was good. And then I sort of think in hindsight, I think I was going through transition when I sort of said, okay, I want to try the shower now, because I always thought, oh, this will be awesome. Hot water shower, lovely. I mean, I think the shower was probably the worst thing about the whole labor, to be honest. But I do think I was going through transition then, because I full body shakes then. So it was uncontrollable shakes. And that was the only time in the labor, I think, that I found it hard to focus on my breath. So that's when Luke really came into play. Like, oh my God, he had the hypnobirthing skills down pat from the very start. But in the shower scene, which we didn't we didn't capture that because that was just like, you know, all consuming. But that's when he really came into play, because he just held the shower head on my lower back and I was fully shaking, so my whole body was just like going crazy. And then he was just like, breathe, breathe, breathe. And every time he said breathe, I remember to breathe, and my body just instantly would stop shaking. So that was like amazing. I mean, I couldn't have gone through that part of it without Luke, for sure. because that was definitely the toughest part of the whole labor.
And Luke, what's your reflection on the labor up until this point that Claire's shared? Because she's saying it's a bit hazy, so I guess you can also be that one to kind of fill in any gaps.
Well, for me, it was just that she was actually, because I don't know if you saw in the video, but when we actually got into our birthing room, there was a lot of sound coming from other ladies' birthing rooms that was going like pretty crazy. And we were like, wow, this is a great zone and a great kind of mental state to get into right before you're going to give birth. And so for me, it was like how amazingly calm she was, obviously with all the techniques she's learned from you. And she was implementing them all. And even with an incredible amount of pain, because I can tell when she's in a lot of pain, she was still able to remain so calm and use those techniques and just breathe. So it was just, for me, it was like super impressive. But from a physical standpoint, it was tough because I was trying to do everything. And so I think when you're actually the woman in labor, you'll get, you know, you're like adrenaline. Buzzing with adrenaline or whatever. But I was like, geez, I've been like massaging for like 7 hours. Man. This is like, I would consider myself pretty fit, but this is like hard. but it was still, I had the adrenaline. It's just amazing. And I was just so impressed and proud with how she just managed to stay in that like positive and calm state while being in such pain. And that's what kind of gave me the energy to keep the massaging going and keep all the kind of little words of encouragement going, I think.
Yeah. That was going into it. I knew my two biggest battles were, so I'm a jaw clencher. And I knew the relation between the jaw and the pelvic floor. And I knew that potentially when I'm in pain, everybody holds their breath. So I said, I want two cues the whole way through. Like everything else, I feel that I've got the movements, all that, but I just want you to tell me to breathe and relax my jaw. Just tell me those two things. And that's what he just kept saying over and over. And each time I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because it just happened. Immediately I was like, relax the jaw, breathe. And then it was just so much better.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple job, really, but it worked. So.
No, but I mean.
You should have just recorded yourself, Luke.
Well, that's smart, actually. I should have. That's really smart. Tell everyone in future to do that, the guys.
So fast forwarding to out the shower, and you knew that things were, you know, getting steadily, you know, quicker and coming towards that next transition. What was that like?
I mean, so yeah, I didn't know anything, because when we first went into it, I said to the woman, I said to the doctor, so how long do you think this will take? And she's like, oh, look, you know, buckle yourself in, because we're looking at 18 hours at least. And I was like, okay, cool, you know. So here I am in the shower thinking, holy shit, sorry. But like, I'm shaking and I've still got so long to go. But I came out of the shower and then I couldn't wee, so I was just like, I want to wee. And I'd heard on so many other things, like sometimes if you can't wee, that you can't actually allow the baby to come through. So I was like, I can't wee. So the nurse was immediately like, okay, let's catheter you. So she cathetered me. So I got, I had a big wee. And then she went out of the room and I went and sat on the toilet and I started pushing.
I was like, oh, you're right. And then she starts grunting, like primal, kind of this primal noise. And I look at her and she's like on the toilet and it's almost like she's pushing while she's on the toilet. And I'm like, what's going on? And she was like, had this primal kind of sound. And I was like, what are you pushing? You said something like, the baby's coming, or I can't help it, but I've got this primal urge to push or something. And so I like run out. I'm like, she's pushing or something, and get the nurse, the midwives back in. And I had to get her, because I was like, you can't have the baby on the toilet. Like, what the hell? Like, this isn't going to work out.
Luke's freaking out.
I'm like, what do I do in this situation? So we get her off the toilet and then the nurses come back in.
Yeah. So I just sat on the toilet.
That's when it all kind of kicked off, really.
Yeah. I obviously thought I needed to go for number twos, but obviously he had come really low. And I is the most, literally, I say that it's the most primal thing that I've ever felt in my whole life. Like, it's never have I experienced anything like that. Like, my body just completely took over then. Like, I think up until that stage, I was in control mentally and like I was the one directing. But then once that urge to push came, my body took over. And it was just incredible. Like, I can't believe what your body does then. So yeah, I started going into these really deep sort of guttural noises, which was, I mean, it's cringeworthy listening back to now, but my body was doing what it needed to do. And yeah, then the nurses came in and were like, well, we need to check you. So I had another exam and they're like, holy shit, like she's here, the baby's coming. And the nurse actually went out and was like, she's 9 centimeters, everyone. And you hear people cheering.
I love that.
So that was like a really nice thing. So then that sort of spurred me on. And I think Luke captured that on video that I was like 9 centimeters. So I think the vaginal exams were really positive for me because I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And yeah, so I just sort of sat there for a bit and then I came onto the bed onto all fours. And my body, as I said, completely took over. I think I controlled one breath at the start of the surge. So I sort of breathed in, directed my breath down, and then my body sort of took over. So it was just like, that's what happened. And then he sort of, do you want all the details now?
You can do the details. So, I like the detail.
So he was sort of coming in and out, which was really good. And my midwife was amazing. She got a hot cloth and put it on my
perineum.
Bum. Yeah. And perineum. Yeah. So, but yeah, she was just, so that felt so nice. That was sort of my focus, which is really weird, but it was just like that warmth on that part of your body was just really calming. So that was really nice. And then, yeah, and he just sort of came in and then I had to change positions last minute. So my pelvic floor was actually really tight, which I knew this going into pregnancy. I knew this going into birth because, you know, I'm a yoga teacher, personal trainer. Like, I know that my pelvic floor was too tight. I actually worked on that my whole pregnancy to relax my pelvic floor. But my right side was too tight. And she said, he's not quite being able to come through, the muscle's not relaxing. So last minute I had to sort of change positions so that he could put more pressure on one side. Does that make sense? To clear the muscle. In which worked, but that's when Luke had to come into play because he had to hold my leg up the whole time.
It was hard work. It's all I've been massaging for 10 hours and then to hold a leg up for like an hour. Not that easy. Well,
it wasn't even an hour. The push phase was 20 minutes. So
felt like an hour.
Well, lucky you had all that training beforehand too.
Well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
No, it was good. I was like, if Claire can, you know, give birth, I can hold up her leg for 20 minutes. That's the least I can do, I think.
Yeah. So, but then my muscle relaxed finally. And he came out. And then yeah, the rest.
We saw as he was coming in and out, I was like, I could see loads of hair on his head. I was like, oh, he's got loads of hair. It's awesome. I was like telling her he's got like more hair than my niece does now, like a year and a half. Like, it was just,
yeah,
that
I
made
do.
Her laugh a little
I
bit
remember and, seeing that.
Yeah.
He's like you. He's got this beautiful look of
dark hair. He's like look of full dark head of hair. Yeah. Head. So that was, yeah, it was amazing.
And what was that moment like when you both first met him?
I mean, oh my God, it was just like so overwhelming. I think it was just like, wow. I think I was just so high in adrenaline that I just went into like, yeah, I don't know. How do you even describe that moment? Yeah. I think that's the first time someone's asked.
I think
asked.
It's all a mix of emotions. It's like relief that he's, you know, when he came out and then the midwife like rubs him quite vigorously to get him like his lungs going and to get him moving. And I think to get him crying a bit.
He took a little bit to cry.
Yeah.
So they were a bit like.
So they had him for a few seconds and then he was good and then he's skin to skin and we're like, it's amazing. So it's like relief and love and just, yeah, all sorts of emotions going on.
Yeah. It was, and it was like, wow, I did it. Like that was also, you know, a huge part of it was like, oh my God, like it's just that full body, like empowerment, how you just feel like the strongest person in the world right then, you know? And it's, I think that was what was like, wow, just couldn't believe it had all come to that.
Amazing.
Yeah,
beautiful. And and the placenta, because you were in induction, what was their procedure for you with your placenta delivery?
Yeah, so obviously I had a injection and then my placenta came out that way. So yeah, I mean, it still took a little bit of time to come out. It was quite gentle, and she just sort of, I didn't even feel a thing at that stage because I had him in my arms. So at just one stage, the nurse sort of said, push. And I was like, okay. And then, then my placenta came out, but she showed us our placenta. She laid it on the table. So our nurse like fully described what everything was. And that was really like quite cool to see.
It's quite amazing to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite a beautiful thing actually.
Yeah. So it was all like, I mean, as I said, the nurses were just like, I can't, it was just amazing. They were just literally to a T how you'd want them to be, and everything. You didn't even have to tell them what you wanted. So it wasn't like I had to say, I want a hot compress or I want this. They just did it. So, which was really nice. So yeah, I'm super, super happy with how it all went. And I definitely have a totally different opinion on intervention now.
Yeah. But I think that, that also though comes with the education, you know, there were like, I hope that you would have felt that from what I had also shared with you, that knowing that you had choices and that you could ask questions, and that you, it didn't then mean that you had to have an epidural, but then by knowing and incorporating all of the techniques, like the breathing, the movement, Luke, what you also did, all of that would have contributed, I would hope that you feel that, that to the experience that you did have, because you, you were going in with all of that information to make the experience for yourself. And just reiterating as well that the importance of, I think it's not always how our babies are born, it's how we're made to feel during labor that we will always remember. And the fact that you had such supportive caregivers who were respectful, who already incorporated the language, and that, it sounds like too, was what also really made your experience for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the whole combination of everything. And as you said, I think we were already quite empowered with knowledge, which is a really nice place to be, because we knew that we were going into this with, you know, full knowledge of what was happening, you know, as much as you can. And Luke did too, which was really good for me, because I could sort of just let go of control then as well, because I knew that he has it. Like if something goes down or if there's an intervention that needs happening, he's just, it will like be cool. Actually, something I did forget was that my nurse actually gave me sterile water injections. So because I had such bad back pain, she gave me sterile water injections. That's something Luke didn't know. So he knew, you know, epidurals, he knew all those type of things, but he's like, sterile water. He's like,
what's the go on this, Claire?
And I'm like, yep, it's water.
She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
And he's like, what's that? Injections, and like... he's like, we can say no. Yeah, like,
they're meant to be really effective, but just a little bit uncomfortable to have them put in, hey.
So they were unbelievable. Like it completely changed my labor. So it was like full body control, like full body shakes, like full back labor. Then the minute they administered them, yes, they were painful. But then the actual, my labor changed, and it wasn't in the back anymore. It was in the stomach. And I was like, I'm not progressing anymore. You know, it's not painful. Like I'm not progressing. And they're like, oh, yes, you are. Yep, you are. And I was like, oh, okay. And how could you just saw the difference on me, right?
Yeah. I mean, there were four injections like in a square on her lower back. And they said, right, we're going to do it at the height of the surge because that's when you're at your most pain anyway. So then it's like this, they're so painful that it will just kind of amalgamate into one painful experience. I guess this was their theory going into it. And so I was like, that kind of makes sense. And so that's when they did it. And Claire barely showed that she even acknowledge the pain of the actual injections. It was like almost like a normal surge. And then when she came out of it, she was just a completely different person. She was so much like, I could tell before she was in an extreme amount of pain. And then after having the injection, she was just so much calmer and could really breathe again and focus and do everything that she was doing amazingly anyway. But it was just, you could tell that it was a lot of relief for you.
Yeah, that was.
It helped a lot.
Which is crazy. Who thinks?
It's just water. It was like saline, right?
Yeah. Who thinks that that can change you? But it really did. And so that was just game changing, I think.
That's amazing that it was so positive for you.
Yeah.
Because you hear very different things, because what they're doing is that they're injecting the water onto like pressure acupressure points. So that's why, look how I showed you those acupressure points on the back. Yeah. Yeah. So they probably saved you from more work.
Yeah, I should have been there like.
I mean, he was, but.
Focusing more up top, I guess.
Yeah.
Can I ask what your recovery was like and your so far breastfeeding journey has been?
Yeah, so recovery, I didn't tear.
Yay!
Woo! So that was the first thing I asked, because at one stage at one stage I thought I was ripping in half, and up as well. So I was like, do I still have a clitoris? And the nurse started pissing herself laughing. She was like, oh my God, I felt the same thing when I was giving birth. Don't worry. It's still there, hun. And I was like, okay. So I needed one stitch, but it was just on my skin. So I had torn it a little bit on the skin, if that makes sense. But I was fully intact, muscular, everything else. And the doctor even said, we probably don't even need to stitch your skin, but you're bleeding, so I'll give you a stitch. I was like, okay, sweet. So that was really good. So I mean, I was swollen for a couple of days, but I think I was fully good down there by a week, which was really nice. And recovery wise I don't know, I felt awesome. I couldn't believe it. My stomach and basically immediately came back. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm so I feel bad saying all that, but yeah, it was really positive. No. So, and the breastfeeding journey was tough, and yeah, that was tough. So he didn't latch, initially. And so we spent, I don't know, 2 hours with him skin to skin, in the hospital, in the birthing suite, trying to get him to latch. And unfortunately he just wouldn't, he would sort of latch and then come off, latch and then come off. He was quite sleepy. And so then she just expressed me myself. So I tried antenatal expressing, but I could basically only get the tiniest bit of, colostrum from about 37 weeks. So I didn't have any reserves of that because I couldn't get it. And then, yeah, so my nurse just expressed me, and then I was just syringe feeding him for 3 days, in which they kept me in hospital an extra night because they wanted, recovery wise, I was fine, but they just didn't feel that he was feeding well enough to let me go. So yeah, then I just learned the technique to freaking express my colostrum, and I stayed up all night on the second night. Like, I know it's not good for my recovery, but I was like, I'm getting this. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm freaking expressing and I am getting these syringes. So I filled up like three mil syringes, and I was like, see, I can go home now. And the doctors were like, okay, yes, you can go home, we trust that you can do it. So I think day three then my milk came in, and he was still having difficulty latching, and thankfully day three was the day that the nurse came home to visit me at my house, and she gave me a nipple shield, and basically from then on he was sweet. He latched immediately on the nipple shield, and he got the hang of it, and by that stage my nipples were both bleeding, they were both scabbed, so I was in lots of pain anyway, so the nipple shield was like an amazing relief. And then I think it took about 2 weeks, and I sort of slowly weaned him off the nipple shield, and now he's a milk machine.
That's amazing.
So yeah, wow. I think the breastfeeding journey was almost the toughest thing about it all.
Yeah, and it can be. And like, it's so important. That's a whole nother journey in itself.
Oh my God.
So
and something I feel that you can't really prepare for, like, it's just because you just don't know what's going to happen, right?
You don't know what kind of baby, and you don't know what kind of baby, you know, and what their mouth shape is, whether they've got tongue tie, you know, what, how you're holding them. You just don't know. And they can be quite heavy too. Hey, like it's, and then you're whole, and you know, you're bent forward. So your positioning's really weird and you're tired. So there's so many factors towards that.
I think that's just having that support is paramount as well. So that's lovely. Yeah. No one ever told me about nipple shields, and I had suffered through my first. Oh, it was like I was in tears when he would latch, and but my second, when I knew it, like I was like nipple shields, and they saved me as well. And they, again, they're such a like, oh, you shouldn't do your nipple shields, and you know, but honestly, I think at the end of the day, like anything, you just need to do what works for you. Mm. And it's amazing that you.
I mean, I don't think he would have fared unless I had the nipple shield. So, you know, it was such a saving, like it literally was amazing. And as I said, he weaned off it perfectly fine because everyone was like, if you get a nipple shield, he's going to be stuck to it forever. You're not going to. So that was in my head.
Yeah, it only took like, 2 days to wean him off it.
Yeah.
It was just to get that initial latch.
Yes.
And him to get the hang of it. And
and for you also to relax into the feed. Yeah, slowing dropping the shoulders, relaxing.
Exactly, So, I mean, it's all good.
So what's your plan now? Are you going to get back on the road with little Bo?
That's the plan. I don't know. We keep talking about it, and it's hard now because we're still in lockdown. So we're making plans, but obviously we can't really travel at the moment. But it's kind of we've got a lot of things to sort out. We've got the kind of bed situation for Bo in the van. We don't know whether to go this kind of co-sleeper bassinet thing or to actually screw the bassinet into the wall or the ceiling. And we've got all these things that we're kind of talking about and making decisions on.
I mean, if it was Luke's decision, we would already be gone on the road. But I'm like, well, dude, like I am barely keeping my head above water, you know, like we're at my mum's at the moment, and which has been the best decision I think ever, because it's been such incredible support. So I think that's attributes to my recovery as well, is the fact that mum's been here cooking all my meals, you know, just having that extra, like now we're having a podcast because mum's got little Bo downstairs, you know. hitting the road is kind of giving me some anxiety.
Whereas I'm just like, let's get out there, come on, he'll be all right.
I think it's just so beautiful, and once you get your strength up and you get into a bit of a groove, you'll just know that the time will just feel right when it's right.
Hopefully
it will.
So we always like to wrap up our birth story episodes with, we'd love to kind of ask you, and it's great that you're both here, because Luke, you are like the first hypnobirthing dad that we've been able to have on the podcast. Yeah. So we'd love to ask you from both of your perspectives, what advice, like Luke, what advice would you give a new dad in the preparation for the pregnancy, the birth, and just becoming a dad?
It's a tough one because we all come at it from different angles, but I think every dad would want to be as supportive and as involved as possible. And if that is your aim, like me, is to kind of get educated and to learn as much so that you can be there as kind of a support beacon, both from a physical and an emotional point of view, then like to do a course, whether it's your course or a very similar course, is really great for the guy. Yeah. I think because we just don't really know anyway as much as the woman that's going to give birth, because they're obviously so intrinsically involved with it, or they're already doing all the research, and we're like maybe we're still working and doing other things, and we're like, yeah, we're going to support, but we don't really know how to support. So I think from an empowerment point of view, it's so good to be able to learn the techniques and the journey and just everything involved, so that when it comes to the day, or even prior to the day, that you know how to be there, how to support, what you're going to take to the hospital, what kind of pressure points, massaging, light touching, what you're going to say when you're in certain situations, how you can talk to the doctors and nurses from a positive point of view to make decisions on behalf of your wife who may be, you know, in pain at that time. All these sorts of things that come under the kind of environment or setting at that point are just like so important, I think, for if you want to be really involved and part of the journey, and it'll make it so much more special, I think, for the guy. So I think that's really important as well for your relationship, because you can obviously provide
all that support.
She's like, yeah, do this. And you're like, fine, yeah, I know how to do that. That's cool. So you can like get on and help her with everything. And so, yeah, that would be my one piece of advice, is to really educate yourself and empower yourself to be able to help your partner in their situation from both a physical and an emotional point of view.
Yeah. And I think also like on that as well, like Luke was coming from a place of not knowing nothing, by the way. So to all the guys out there that think he's like, you know, into this already.
Whoa. I mean, I've got you as a wife, so I know stuff about health and fitness. I mean, yeah. I know a little bit.
But he knows absolutely nothing about women and pregnancy.
I know all about the cycle, mate. I'll tell you. Okay.
You know, it's very, he's a guy at the end of the day, and yeah, really
true.
Doesn't know that much. So I think that was what, you know, taking your course was incredible for me, obviously. But I was like, okay, yeah, it's just reinforcing all those things I already know. But seeing Luke take it was just so good, because I was like, oh my God, like he's actually, and then we would go on a walk or something and have a conversation. I was like, holy shit, he's actually absorbed it. Like he knows what he's talking about. And I was like, wow, like that's so good. Like it wasn't just, you know, sometimes I'm like, is he even listening to this? And, you know, you kind of double question it. And then when it came to it, he knew everything. And leading up to the weeks before, he had taken the book upstairs and he was reading through the book by himself to make sure. And then he's like, okay, we need to have a conversation about what you want. So that he really like took it on himself to really empower him, like, and learn the knowledge and that. And so he's like, can we just go through again what an epidural means and what an induction means? And he's like, and so he just wanted all the language so he knew everything. So I was like, wow, I'm so bloody impressed.
Yeah, I think it depends on obviously your thirst to like for the knowledge and how much you want to support and your mindset as the partner going into it. But I think the going back to the book is so like important as reference, because I think we did our course with you like quite early on. I don't know, like 20, maybe 20. And so by the time it got to the crunch, the pointy end of the, you know, end of trimester three, I was like, I can't remember exactly what I'm supposed to do in this situation, what I'm supposed to, you know, all the pressure points. And so the guide, the reference book is so good for just revising and refreshing your mind in terms of, okay, yeah, oh yeah, that's that pressure point, and it's that kind of like touch, or it's that, you know, statement or whatever it is that's going to help.
And also the guide of like the step-by-step guides of like what you do and and how you can help and stuff, like,
so I think it's really important.
He had it down to a T, so I was like, I'm bloody impressed.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
Sounds like you did. That's amazing. And Claire, just from a perspective of like, what advice would you give to a mum who's maybe facing induction or has chosen induction?
I mean, definitely, I think first and foremost, I think you need to let go of any sort of ideas that it's going to be potentially bad, and that's what I had. Like I thought, okay, induction means I'm going to end in epidural and then end in a C-section. That's what I thought induction meant. So I think for sure let go of any sort of ideas about that. I think let go of your ego as well, because that's a big thing for me, is because I wanted so natural. Like I wanted to be this spiritual mama in a pool of like candles and like all this sort of stuff. That's what I had a dream about. But do I think in hindsight that I wish I had that? No, absolutely not. I'm so happy with the birth that I had. So I think it's, yeah, just let go of your ego, let go of sort of any of that. And I think for me, is support, like having Luke there and just having like my mum there as well. It was just, and obviously the incredible midwives that I had, I wouldn't have been able to have such a positive birth and positive environment without that really good support. So yeah, I think, and also that was all in the public system, by the way. So this was all just like, I can't get over it that this is a public system. Like we lived in Dubai for 10 years. So there's no public system. You have to pay for everything. So I'm still walking away like, holy shit, that was all for free. Like, and they've come to my home for visits after and it's free. Like, what? And they're just that good. Like, how is this possible? So we're still in shock on how good it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolutely amazing. It's been such a pleasure to hear the journey, and I can't wait for our listeners to feel that positivity in their journeys from you. So thank you.
Mm. Thank you so much for your time today, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that it's helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you would subscribe and leave us a review.
To learn more about our individual online or face-to-face courses or be mentored by us for your own birth, please see our show notes for the links to our programs.